Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LaZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wabbit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast. I'm your host, LaZero, and I'm joined, as always, by Wabs. How's it going?
Yo, it's going pretty well. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I was going to say as always, but then I realized, like, in the last episode, we had Greybeard on, and that was, like, super awesome. Yeah, Greybeard is just phenomenal. Go check out his podcast. Go check out, you know, all the other I'm stumping on them. I'm like, because I'm good, I feel like it's now my obligation to, like, spread, you know, tell as many people about the other podcasts as possible, just because we don't release as frequently. So First Touch, that's the one. Okay. Perfect. I had First Take in my head, and I'm like, that's not right, that doesn't seem right. Yeah, we're doing our own thing a little bit, but we will review the major. We'll talk a little bit about our Rocket League experience. I actually have been playing a lot, so I might actually start with our week in Rocket League, so that might be the go-to for me.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there's some thoughts and stuff. I don't know if there's any drama or transfer news. I know there's, like, some rumors. Mavs, if you know any of that, please throw that in, because that's the stuff the audience would like to have. But if it was just up to me, you know, we'd literally be on an island, you know.
Let me quickly go into our esports discussion thing and type in Ty. Let me see.
Perfect. You can go look for that. So we're not trapped in New Zealand that looks like Australia, but is, you know, Haiti. So that's for the pre-show listeners. There you go. Actually, speaking of pre-show listeners, we should probably thank our patrons right off the bat. I think that'd be a good idea, actually.
Let's do it.
So let's thank our patrons here. We've got Zodiac 22, Too Much Space. Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Paint, Awesomeness, Digital Toast, Oak, and Mike Young Slug. Thank you all for your continued support. Wait, was it not Mike? Oh, I might have gotten this wrong. There's one more person I think I need to thank, but this one I will have to go through. So now, as Wabs is looking through Ty's information, I'm going to be looking through to find the most recent. It's okay. This is the Frank. It's Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, I miss Frank. There you go. For your continued support. Yeah, thank you all. They're gonna get that giant 35-minute pre-show where I lay out 14 books I'm writing. And we talk about behind the scenes school drama that might mean something or might not mean something. So
it means literally nothing. It's just fun.
It's just that, why do they change principals in schools every 5 years? I don't know.
They do.
There it is. So if you're curious, I think it's the pre-shows, yeah, it's $4. If you just want the R&K shows where we talk about Romance Corner or what have you, then it's just $1. There you go. And actually, the last thing, we do have the new anime podcast where it's the first episode that, honestly, like, we can probably end the show there. Like, I don't think we have to do any more anime podcasts. I don't think we're topping it. I think...
Yeah, we peaked. I'm okay with that.
It was actually such a good episode. I was like, oh my goodness, how do we top it? Well, I feel like we almost need to do something. Well, I thought about Solo Leveling, but I don't think it's going to be Solo Leveling. I think I'm over.
It's not? Okay.
No. I think we might need something a little more like emotional and storytelling punch. Leveling. But you know what? But I do have some ideas if we do solo. Anyway, that's we'll get to that. I think
we'll do that on the anime podcast
in the next month or so. We have to get to that one. Okay, yeah, Wabs, what is the esports news?
I thought we were starting with our week in Rocket League.
Our week in Rocket League. So listen, okay, I am a champ in twos. Ooh. Surprisingly enough.
Congrats.
So I thought this has been pretty funny, but I played my first five places in Nictacular. We did not lose the game.
No way. That's a lie.
Yeah, it was actually dumb. Like, we just locked in, and there it is. And that's the last time I played with the tackler. It was like a couple weeks ago. Nice. But after that, I played the rest of it, and then I've been playing it. I'm pretty comfortably in champ two and twos. Mm-hmm. But in threes, I am like diamond four continuously, like forever diamond four. And it goes up to champ one and goes down to diamond three. And I'm just like, I can't with this rank. Okay. And this is what frustrates me is people don't go when they really should go.
Uh-huh.
but I'm not being ball hoggy enough to like turn around. Okay. So that's a big thing with fighting. But the other thing I actually noticed, which was really funny, I'm just full trusting my teammates though.
Oh, are you?
So this is like at least today, and it went pretty well. I think I went at least positive. But instead of playing overly safe, right, in quote unquote the way you should play around players who aren't playing very well, the way that I've been doing it is like you have a tricky wall read that a diamond usually doesn't get. I'm just going to trust you're going to get it. Okay. And I know this is big. Like,
okay. This is like revolutionary diamond gameplay.
Okay. Now listen, here's the reasoning. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because even if I'm out of position, okay.
Uh-huh.
The other team's diamond players expected that person to hit the ball.
Oh, I love this.
So like for me, I score a lot of like freebie goals in diamond because people like people are just people make mistakes, but the other teammates are like on your team expect the person to hit the ball, right? They expect the person to do the thing that's expected, and I'll get a lot of goals by just assuming you're not going to hit it and then scoring, right?
Yep.
And this can be risky sometimes, but I can do it in like a relatively safe way.
Yeah. And you can recover like kind of fast enough that if they do happen to get a shot, then you're good, right?
Yeah, but you what's happened in Diamond for me, because I feel like clearly I am able, if I trust the person's going to hit it, even if they don't hit it, I also then can trust that the opponent team will miss the empty net.
Yep.
So this is the philosophy, this is the psychology.
I like this.
This is where I'm at with... and it's been my only problem is I kind of have to be peak flow for this to really work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm thinking too much, then it doesn't, you know what I mean? Cause then I start being a little too passive. So I kind of need to go for stuff. I think I'm getting a little better at just cutting people that aren't going to go anyway. That's probably the one problem I do have. So I assume you're going to go, you didn't go. And then we're all waiting there
on defense. Yep. Yeah.
Which honestly in diamond isn't that bad sometimes. if you're patient enough, at that point you almost have to be like more patient. Like at that point you have to just give up on challenging the ball, and hopefully the three of you sitting in that, one of you will hit the ball, you know. even though it's a terrible way to play and I hate it. But no, I've been pretty bad where it's like, no, I sometimes I have to cut harder on teams that aren't like really challenging. I should just cut harder. But yeah, that's my other thing. It's like it's just way more freeing, because like the point is like in higher level gameplay, the correct thing to do is assume the player is at least going to hit the ball, right? Even if you don't predict exactly what they're going to do, at least assume they're not going to create immediate danger. Like maybe it'll bounce somewhere, maybe it'll, you know what I mean? Maybe it'll be a 50. So there'll be like at least time for you or your teammate to get back. So I'm essentially taking the ideal of how you should play Rocket League and just letting myself play like that, because if I start playing the other way, then it's going to cause other problems. So my hope is to not have a net loss with this style. Okay. And to like keep the relative amount, but hopefully as I bump up into higher ranks, I'm able to keep kind of just full trusting my teammates.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, I had the exact same revelation a very long time ago, where I think I had this revelation with you on my team, and I talked to you about this, by the way. What I ended up saying is that the way that I and most people play is that you don't trust your teammates to hit the ball, but you trust your opponents to hit the ball. And that's the way that most people play. because you want to play defensive. You don't want to just give up the goal. And you're like, my teammates are pretty bad. They're at least slightly worse than I am because I'm better than everyone else in this lobby. And I would struggle to hit that ball. There's no way they're getting that. So what you end up doing is you just play super defensively on things that, you know, you could push forward on if you're being like slightly faster in your rotation or whatever else. If you have a bit more trust in your teammates. And what happens on the offensive is you're expecting the opponents to hit the ball because you're like, oh, I don't want to just like let them get a goal for doing nothing because my teammates can't do anything on defense. Why would I let them do that? I'm the best player on the team here because everybody's slightly worse than I am. So what ends up happening is you now start to expect the opponents to hit every ball and hit everything like kind of perfectly. So you're playing slightly further away from the ball. And what my original revelation was a long time ago is you have to do the opposite. You just have to assume that your teammates are going to hit the ball, not perfectly. You can't assume they're going to hit the ball perfectly exactly to where you are every time. You can't do that because that's not going to happen until like, you know, literally pros and even then. But you can assume that they're going to hit the ball and then you can be ready for that. And then with the opponents, they're probably going to be panicking more than anybody on your team is, or at least as much as anyone on your team is. So you expect them to not hit the ball. And then your other teammates are expecting them to hit the ball because they're playing normally, right? So what ends up happening is now you have somebody pushed up, ready for the miss, ready for the whiff. And the rest of your team is back being ready for like the actual play that probably should happen. Mm-hmm. And then you can just get so many free open nets for nothing. It's great. You just have to swap that that play style and be like, you know what? I'm full trusting my teammate. Okay, I'm mostly trusting my teammates, and I have zero faith in the opponents.
Best way to play. It's not even the zero faith in the opponents. It's that you expect the opponents to at least respect, like mostly in Diamond, they'll respect someone hitting the ball. Mm-hmm. Like if they know they can't hit it, they're not going to go. Right. Yeah. So that's actually that like split second hesitation or lack of like jumping on things is what allows you to kind of think like this. Mm-hmm. And then it's I would say on top of that, that split second hesitation is also what allows me to get a lot of free goals in Diamond.
Yep.
I think I had like 5 MVP games in a row.
Oh, beautiful.
So just sometimes it'd be like that.
Just by pouncing on a ball. It's great. Want to know exactly how my week in Rocket League has been?
Oh boy,
it's been the opposite. It's been great.
It's been going very well, or
let me explain. Okay. So I've generally vibed around the high C3s. Okay. I've been pushed up into GC1 and I haven't gotten down to C2, but I've gone close. Throughout this, there's a very big skill differential between, for some reason, there's a very big skill differential between low C3 and high C3, and it's weird.
It's not actually that weird. I remember being there. It's not actually that weird.
Okay.
It's because if you're playing like C3 against other C3s, you're playing like good C2s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're playing in C3, you're actually playing bad GCs. But
yeah, you're playing bad GCs.
Significantly better. They're significantly better than a lot of the people there.
Yeah. So that's the bizarre land that C3 is. And often I'll be playing at like I'll be doing my normal rotations and plays at like what I would expect for a GC1 level, regardless of where I am. And sometimes this makes me tilted because I'm expecting my teammates to do things that are good and expecting the opponents to do things that are like GC1 level. And then it just doesn't happen. And I'm like, what's happening here? Why am I in the wrong? How am I in the wrong position? And I end up being in the wrong position because the play didn't evolve in the way that it technically should have. If everyone was slightly better.
In your brain.
Yeah. If it didn't evolve in the way that it likely would have had everyone on the field been slightly better. And then I'm just in the wrong spot and it ends up being, you know, potentially my fault. And I'll take that. It is my fault. And so it's because I'm playing like I don't want to play down. And then I get tilted because I'm like, I refuse to play down. And then I just start going down. So I go like down.
That's a natural order of things.
Right. You refuse to play down and then you go down. And then at some point, what ends up happening to me is I'm like, fine. I'll play dumb. I'll be super safe. Let my teammates do the stupid things. Let them chase. They'll probably miss. I'm going to play defensive. You go for the ball. You're going to cut me off anyway. And that's just the worst part is I'm right. When I do that and I finally commit to playing intentionally wrong for us for, you know, intentionally wrong, meaning correct for the low C3 instead of for the correct for like the high C3 below GC1. What ends up happening is then I immediately go in the other direction and start swinging back up. So
you're rewarded for playing badly.
Yeah, I'm caught in like an annoying roller coaster of playing at the level, and then like in my warm-up games, I'm not playing good. Obviously, it's my warm-up games. I'm playing bad. and then what happens is I get slightly below the line of where I should be playing. Or where I expect to be playing, and things that are like me doing things that are good, that are helpful for the team. And when I slightly pass that barrier, I'll be good enough to play in the higher level, but then I'll just be slightly wrong for where I am. And then I'll go down and down and down and down until I'm like, fine, fine, dumb Rocket League. I'll play your game.
This cycle never ends. This is what everyone feels. Everyone listening right now, this is like their cycle. Uh-huh. No matter what rank they are, this is what they feel.
This is it. And every single time.
And it's like, and none of it is actually, like, I know I said, like, this is the thing that I decided to do. I think you kind of, like, sometimes you decide, sometimes you're thrown into it. But, like, it happens regardless, you know, of what you're planning or not planning to do. I think it's like the way a 50-50% system works is it naturally forces you into this conundrum.
Yep. And it makes me sad. But what I've noticed and what has been like the saving grace, let's say, the thing that's made me not tilted in my tilt sessions and on tilt is watching the play evolve and realizing like every single game the slight changes that I am kind of now forced to make based on like the trends of the specific MMRs within it. It's bizarre. It's very weird. But like I have to slightly make changes where I'm playing super, super defensive, letting my teammates cut, letting my teammates just do whatever in like low C3. And I'm like, all right, you'll probably not score this, but if you do bet, and I'm better on defense anyway, so it's fine. Because I'm just a better defensive player anyway. I'm not a great offensive player, even though I always want to be. So that is just kind of what happens. It's great. And then we start winning there. And at some point, I'll have to like go a little bit more often. And maybe I have to start cutting. Maybe I have to actually take some control of the ball. Maybe I have to, you know, go in the air and not save every single one of my boosts so that I can be on defense. And I can do something. I can have fun with the game. And it's great. And then I start to do that more and more and more. And it starts to like, it. Had I done this 50 MMR below, I would be in the wrong spot. I would be out like super overcommitted. There would be no boost on our side of the field. It would be in my net. But now that I'm slightly higher, I can do these things because I can have a little bit of trust in my teammates to be back. And it's so, like, that's the saving grace because I can watch that that change increase happen. And it's bizarre. It's very fun though.
I will say though that it, like, in some like you almost need to watch that happen, you know, you almost need to force yourself to be like, this is the way it should be. I think you can like play tricks with yourself sometimes, so you have to be very careful, but I appreciate that. I appreciate that this is kind of the way you have to look at it. I mean, I think like when I was like playing early on, someone once said was like, in order to get good at this game, you actually have to like see what your like notice what your teammates are doing and like actually play around them, right? And I think what you're kind of showing is not necessarily the play around, but like the ability to kind of adjust and see the slight MMR changes is probably the biggest like factor in you actually succeeding in this game.
Yeah. Because I'm not good at the game. I've never said I'm good at the game.
Well, you're good relative to other people, but I think for most humans that pick up this game,
okay,
that will be the defining factor. Yeah.
Like, I'll say that I'm not good at the game relative to where I should be, MMR based. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of objectively bad at the game for for where I am, but okay. I'm just very good at playing with the people that I get. That's it. Yeah.
I feel like this happens to everyone. Like, unless you're like becoming a mechanical, like, I think that's the crazy thing, right? Like, the people who kind of become like mechanical geniuses. Mm-hmm. The game, like, the way they beat the game is like running their head into a wall. You know what I mean? Until they're unapologetically so much better than everyone else, they're able to continue. Mm-hmm. And just for like 99.999% of us, like, that's just not the case. You know, I do not have the time to like, I think in some ways, probably my earliest like bouts in platinum, that's what other people felt about me. Like, the first three or four months, I was just a mechanical monster. I didn't know how to play the game, but I was just, I was the only one doing stuff. You know what I mean? and then that just catches up to you, you know? And I could probably like practice a lot of those things, but there will never be as efficient of me just being able to read the game better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can always read the game better. That's the secret of Rocket League. You can always play better. You can always read the game better.
But that's why we love it. What a great are we gonna Rocket League though? I feel like we got somewhere here, you know?
We've been playing the game.
Wow, who'd have thought, you know? Yeah, no. So I'm like totally. The one thing I was gonna mention with Arik and Rock League actually is that I now have I'm kind of back into like Dimension 20.
Ooh, okay.
And it's the perfect companion piece for me. Okay, mm-hmm. One monitor Dimension 20, because I am not someone who can watch Dimension 20 like a D&D type thing, mm-hmm. Like fully. You know what I mean? Like just focused on it.
Yep.
Like it's not like, you know what I mean? I need something more. So it's a perfect like. I'll look over every so often for a reaction and I can just zone out and play the game. Like it just works for me. So yeah,
it's more of a slight extra thing that you can look at.
Yeah. And so, but it, like this perfect balance, like to me, like this is super relaxing. Like this is my kind of like my zone, my vibe. And I'm just really enjoying it.
Nice. So you found your, like your side monitor, your side piece.
I found my side piece, but I mean, I think the point is like, I think like I'm not at a point now where like when I play Rocket League, it's really too relaxed. Right. And so having this kind of story side thing happening at the same time, it really helps me to make it like a more relaxing feel instead of like over worrying about the game itself. Yeah.
Yeah. You're starting to understand how I play the game.
Well, I mean, I feel like I've understood this for a while. I feel like this has been my mode for a while. But maybe the difference now is like, because I think I've mentioned that like very much Rocket League has become the casual, like relaxing thing for me. Mm-hmm. But this is the thing that actually gets me to play more of the game, right? So I think that's, I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
I guess so.
The game like kind of accidentally becomes the main thing because what you want to be doing is a secondary thing. Like the thing you want to do is a secondary.
That's a good way to put it.
Like, it has to be, it can't be your main focus. It has to be a secondary. So then Rocket League is accidentally the first.
I enjoy both of them because they're happening at the same time. And I think just doing one or the other by itself wouldn't be as enjoyable.
Yep.
There you go.
I totally understand.
Yeah. Something, something attention spans.
TikTok generation.
TikTok generation. Well, yeah. But no, I mean, I guess another point to that whole thing for me is like, it's because it's no, like, I think if this was like, if I was trying to get better at Rocket League or any other game, right, and it was my sole focus, then I'd have to like put away the other stuff and focus on it, right? But because that's no longer a thing that's required that I care about, then I'm good to just do it this way.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of which, let's doing it this way. Maybe we should go over something that Rocket League podcast should do. I don't know how my segue was gonna work there. I felt like I was on the tip of my tongue like actually getting a segue and then just never happened.
I think you could have done it through like the side piece, the thing that's on the side monitor.
That would have been a callback too. Been tough. But no, let's get into a little bit of Rocket League esports, because that's kind of for our listeners who are a little more casual. But maybe that's not actually the case. I don't know. Sorry if you guys are serious hardcore gamers, but the first big major kind of happened, and what did we take from it, Webs?
We took that my heart is always in the right place. and I'll explain why once we cover who won.
Yeah, do we want to go like through the Swiss rounds, or what are we doing here?
I think we want to go right to the playoffs. Always in the right place. But
okay, well, okay, all we've figured out essentially is that Wabs feels morally justified in the choices of the teams that Wabs cheered for. Sorry, Major One here. I'm getting the info. All right, so we're getting to Swiss here. Wabs, I think it'd be best if you kind of led where we want to talk about when it comes to Swiss.
Okay. Yep. So let me look real quick. We're going to skip the whole round one because things were expected. Rule one, M80. I didn't see that one, but that seems like it should have been a good match. Let's move on to day two, or to round two.
Yeah. Okay.
Round two is where things get very interesting.
Very, very much so.
Our first match in round one is Furia Vitality. And you're kind of going into this, I think a lot of people had expectations of South America.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for the past like 3 years, everybody said that we can't sleep on South America. They're insane. With Furia and Complexity moving up to North America way back when, and then moving back down. There's been a lot of movement, and like they're an insane region, and we know this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people, myself included, probably expected South America to be at or slightly above where we saw North America to be, which is nowhere near the level of France. I'll say they're on the level of Europe. They're not near the level of France. I think that's pretty fair. I think that's a fair assessment of the Rocket League scene going into Major One.
France is... You want to be France.
You want to be France. France is the best region. We all know this. That's confirmed. Everybody's like, we have a top four, and it's like Carmine Corps, Vitality, BDS, Gentlemates in that order. Gentlemates is arguable.
I mean, listen, John the Translator really did a number on them. That's all I'm saying.
What?
You don't know John the Translator? Okay, well, listen, if you ever want to be inspired with esports, John the Translator, YouTube it. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Okay. And it was in France, I believe. So that's why the reference.
Okay.
But that speech in 2011 that made all the StarCraft nerds, that's right, cry. listen, that's why France esports now is the greatest. Or sorry, French everything is the greatest because of that speech. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. That's a
I'm just making historical claims with no backing. That's all I'm doing. Okay.
Yeah, no, as we tend to do, as we should.
As we
deserve to do. Yeah. We're podcasters. We deserve that.
To have those claims with no backing. Just for inside jokes' sake. Okay. Yes, anyway, sorry, France. Yeah, that's where we're at.
So France is the best. Furia, you're like, okay, they're probably gonna be decent. They'll be like a top eight, but they'll be a top eight in line with NA, which is not in line with France. Barely in line with EU. Now then South America, Furia. Round two of the Swiss beats Vitality. This came out of nowhere. This is how we're kicking off. Okay, not kicking off, but this is how we're kicking off our
No. I have to say this was the one tournament, and I'm pretty sure this is the game I caught, where I'm like, oh, this is day two and this is happening.
Uh-huh.
Like usually day one and two sometimes is not very interesting. And this tournament's like, nah, we got upsets for days.
Yeah, this wasn't even like, oh my god, this was a nothing spot. You're not expecting like big upsets, big games happening on this. You're expecting like normal things. It's whatever's. They're just gonna be playing
a lot
of
3-1s is what you're expecting, you know?
Yeah, they're playing their silly Rocket League and they're having some fun, right? Like that's what you're expecting in the early Swiss stages. Fury of Vitality loses. The undefeated-ish Vitality, undefeated by anyone outside of France. Vitality gets beat by Furia in a 3-2, and I'm pretty sure. Did you see this one? Because I don't know if I actually saw this.
Hold on. Let me see. Because I did actually in our Discord. If I go into esports discussions and I find myself here, I think this is one I actually did watch live. I believe this might be the game. Okay, here it is. The Genji versus Fury game. But I did watch the Fury game, so I do have some comments to make about that one.
So I don't think Vitality was looking bad from what I remember hearing. I think that this was Vitality maybe not necessarily playing at their peak, but this is Vitality playing for sure. And Furia is just like kind of just semi destroys them. Not really. It's a close game.
Well, it's a 3-2, so it's not, you know.
But they end up winning. And then for Vitality at that point, like coming into this, we're like, oh, they destroyed Vitality. Like,
in relative terms, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Losing to Vitality 3-1, you've probably destroyed Vitality for most cases.
I like that.
Beating Vitality 3-2. Destruction, absolute destruction, no coming back from that.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Second series of the day of this round is G2 versus Genji, and we've seen this before. This is a tried and true matchup. Genji takes it. That was a bit of an upset. G2's your favorite, but you're kind of expecting Genji to like come out in major and, you know, perform insanely well. Yeah, they're Genji, they're gonna do well. So not too unexpected, we're okay with this. Then KC Falcons comes up and you're like, ain't no way, this is Europe. Vitality's already lost today, but there's no shot. KC is the better team. They're better than Vitality. They're better than every team that is coming into this. There's no chance. And what does Falcons do? Falcons wins in game 5 overtime. They take this, and
I just love how the Falcons are just like the Mina, like no matter who the players are, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just keep dominating. Like it doesn't even like no matter but what they're just yeah.
It's
anyway,
also
sorry.
TRK Clears and Rawas.
Oh, it is TRK. Okay. Yeah. That's
like. That team, once again, you're like, okay, they're probably on par with Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They might be pushing into France because of like the quality of the players. Might.
Okay, I love this France analogy. Sorry, keep going.
It's true though. So you're like, okay, they're gonna be good. They're gonna be a solid team. They're probably gonna beat Gentlemates. Like Gentlemates being the worst of the EU teams, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody except for WAPS at this point. is looking at this and being like, there's no way KC beats them, they're the best. Hey, like
follow your heart.
They'll be close, but that's fine. Falcons wins. How did this happen? How is France, not just EU, how is France getting upset twice in one day by SA and MENA? What's happening here? I've never seen this before in a tournament. These are two of the number one and two seed probably going into this tournament, getting up. Let me actually check. Oh, I can't check. One, and let me just double check this one. Was Vitality a higher seed, or BDS a higher seed than KC or than Vitality? I think they were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 1 and 3 seed, because of us. Apparently VDS was the second seed. Being put down, being put to 1-1 in your round 2 Swiss, that's never happened before. We've never seen this type of thing. And then your final game of the day is BDS Gentlemates, and you're like, all right, BDS takes it. We've seen this game play out. We've seen this game play out many a time. This is going to be close. It's going to be France versus France, but it's going to be BDS. And Gentlemates takes it.
It feels like every time you turn, there's an upset in the second game.
Every single one is an upset. The only one that wasn't objectively, or I guess subjectively, an upset is G2 and Gen G. And yet, G2 was still North America's seed one. Gen G was second seed. That is an objective, maybe not subjective, I'll accept that, but an objective upset. Every single game in the upper side of this round two was an upset. Every single one. And then we move on to round three.
I'll let you finish round three, and then I kind of want to talk about a little bit about Sam and Mina kind of comparing to you, but continue.
Okay. So round three, because at this point we're going to talk about Sam and Mina. We have Furia versus Genji, which you're expecting to be a really good game. Going to be very close. Probably going to be fairly aggressive based on what we've seen yesterday. Furia is coming out swinging. They don't care about defense. They're just going to run you down. And Genji also kind of doing the same. I think I feel like they're probably going to do the same. They're going to be like fairly defensive, but their team play is kind of like next level.
That's what I noticed when I was watching Furia. It's just, yeah, it felt like their kind of combinations. It felt like when I watched it, it felt like Gen G couldn't even start doing the thing they want to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like that's what the whole game felt. It felt like, oh, Furious like pressuring, like the instantly that Genji got something, they were pressured. And then it was a lot of Genji like attempting to start something and not being able to do so, like instantly being pressured. And I kind of love that for it.
Yeah. And it was brutal. This was like a disgusting show. I think what ended up happening is that every single team that scored first won. I don't think I'm wrong about that. I think this started that trend, which would be a trend kind of throughout the rest of the tournament.
Do you think it's a play style thing? Like once you have a goal, you just play in a certain way, and it's hard. Because you're ahead, you can play almost like riskier, quote unquote, and so that enables you to then just like snowball it or prevent the other team from actually getting going.
I would say that you would think it'd be the other way around, that you'd play more passive and not. Like maybe try and take advantage of any spots.
Kill the game a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of like push an advantage if you have it, but you're not searching for one. But what you would probably expect to see with something like that is fairly lower scoring games. But this was a lot of goals throughout the entire, pretty much. I think Falcons is one of the only exceptions to this. Like most of them were high scoring games. Like very high scoring games. Furia, Gen G, they averaged, I think, four goals per game. 7-4-2, it was a 2-0, 5-8. So yeah, about 5 goals a game, which is insane. Like that's kind of unheard of in pro Rocket League. Out of five matches, they're getting that many goals. And that's just kind of from Furia, from what I remember, where they were like so aggressive and so fast and not letting them do like Genji do anything, that the few times that Genji actually got the chance to do anything, they took advantage, and it was, you know, well done.
Like that's when the mechanical skills should show. But like, I think the way Furious like plays, it kind of cuts down teams. Like it literally never lets them play they want to play. Right. And I think that's maybe the purest form of Rocket League in some ways, is like, oh no, we're just going to keep this kind of train rolling, and we're never letting you do the things you're good at.
Yeah.
And as frustrating as that is, but it also kind of gets into people's heads when you play like that. So I just think it's a wonderful combination for this major.
It was beautiful. It was incredible. So great series overall. M80's Falcon. You're like, okay, Falcons just beat KC. They win. There's no way that Gentlemates loses or beats the team that beat KC. That doesn't happen on paper or in real life. It happened in real life, and on paper. Gensel Beats wins in a 3-0 out of nowhere. One goal games all around. They beat Falcons at their own game. They beat them in like the hunker down. They beat them in the low score. They just beat them. How does that even happen? It's Falcons who beat KC. You don't see that.
Listen, the transitive property doesn't work here. You know, the I beat this team, so therefore I should be better than this team. Like, it's just not. It's not working the way it should be.
But keep in mind, this is Gentlemates who's seed four EU. They're nothing. Nobody's predicting for them, and nobody will predict for them. Not a single time throughout the entire. Maybe like one person in one match.
As they go to game seven in every next game, almost, you know.
Throughout the entire tournament, nobody will pick Gentlemates except for Wabs.
Listen, you just knew it. You knew what was up. The new blood's in,
faith.
You know?
I have faith. No.
They're not that
the
new?
New blood helps. Actually, is there new blood? Not really.
Well, okay, what is new blood anymore, you know?
Yeah. Like, you can call Seiko Itachi and Juicy new blood, but you're only doing that if you've been around since season six.
I've been around too long now, you know. I remember when Seiko was the rookie, and I remember Itachi was like subbed in and it was like a big deal, you know.
Itachi was the favorite.
People were like,
sub.
Oh, he's just not as good. It's like, well, yeah, give him another 3 years and look at him now.
I've been a day one Itachi fan. I've been here since, never doubted my boy.
Listen, I've been here since he killed his whole Listen, everyone talking about Naruto thing.
I've been here since he was getting
that
carried
forehead
by Speed.
No. He got carried by Speed. Yo, Speed is still one of my favorite players, okay? Let me just not do a thing, show up to a tournament, and just like win it, you know? Like, let's be kicked out of every team. Like, no one really wants me, and then I just show up on a random team and win it. Anyways, yep. We'll stop.
That's kind of what Gentlemates was, to be honest, but they were
listen, Taji just kept the mantle going, you know?
He did. He kept that mantle. It was great. Did anything else fun happen in round three? Complexity showed up. Unfortunate showed up. For them in the long run, but they almost beat KC, which would have been probably the biggest upset.
Last thing. Oh, can we go through Swiss now? Like, can we?
Yeah, we can kind of skip here.
But I'm gonna just talk about it a little bit. Like, do you think in some ways Sam and Mina play in a more similar style to EU, and that's why the matchups make more sense than the NA crossover? Or is that just
no,
like, not a chance?
Mina, maybe. I didn't see. I think I only saw one of the Falcons games, so I'm not actually sure. But Sam specifically, Furia, does not. Even
they do their own thing. They're in their own world.
Kind of. They're
one of one.
You might see them as kind of an OCE, like a traditional OCE team, where they play the EU style, or counter to them. They play EU, which is, you know, much more team heavy, much more aggressive than NA, but they do it like cranked up to 11. They're on every ball. They are on, like, there's nobody on the field and they're challenging you.
What was that team? Was it Top Lokes? No, I'm thinking of a different team. The same thing happened to EU, like, I swear, like a year ago. Giants. You know what I mean? Where it was just, you know, because I think, what was the stat? There's like a coach that once said, like, the best predicting stat of how well you do as a team in Rocket League is the speed at which you play, like, how close the speed of each of the players are on the team.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And I think Giants had done that, like, to the extreme back then, where it was like, they're all just going at the same kind of pace. And so it was this constant perfect rotation and you feel suffocated. And I feel like maybe Furia resembles, I don't want to say it's the same thing, but resembles that in some respect.
Yeah, they took a play style similar and just made it so that, like, mechanical skill in every region is so high, and like team skill, individual team, whatever, like, the skill is so high that we're just not going to let you play the game. That's their way to fix it. And show by the Swiss, it's correct. Like, that is the way to play. We'll come back to that.
Sir, stop thinking. Just go. Just go. Like, I just imagine the training sessions. Just like, don't stop. Keep going.
We have to stop your brain. We have to make the only thing that's stopping here is your thinking. You're going. That's it. That's how Furio plays. And like, you would think that would be kind of unga bunga dumb whatever play, but it's so smart and it's so effective. It's great. I love watching Furia. They're a great team. After this tournament, incredible. Love them. Want to talk about the playoffs?
Yeah, let's get to it. Yeah.
Okay. Incredible. Once again, every single series in the Saturday, our quarterfinals was a top finals or like a grand final that you would want to see in a grand final. That's a fact. Even the one that was a little bit of a blowout, which had a storyline to it because it was the rematch, which is the Vitality Fury game. That one was very strategically impressive and like mentally impressive, because Vitality spent the day that since they lost, they went to the final rounds, which we haven't talked about. Vitality and Gen G went to the final round of Swiss, round five Swiss. That shouldn't happen. You're not expecting that. And so did G2. Oh my God.
They all, that's the thing. Listen, was it a difficult? What's the hairspray quote? What builds character? Having nothing builds character. Sorry, that's a wrong quote. I was gonna think like painful to like that the trials and tribulations will allow them to really, you know, really show up in the final final playoffs. I'm trying to get at.
That is what
failing miserably to do.
So Vitality coming off of that and being like, well, we ended up being in seventh place in Swiss. What's going on? Let's look back at our games. Let's study. Yeah, let's figure ourselves out. Yeah. And then like they talked about this in the interviews afterwards, and the studying worked. Like,
that's sick. Actually, how many teams actually do that, you know?
I think all teams do, but this one was like very effective.
During like day of sometime. I mean, I guess it depends.
It might depend, but I think all teams
You're telling me every team looks at their own games? I don't think there's a chance that every team does that.
No, pros, there's no way pros look at replays. They don't do it. You don't have to. Don't worry.
No, I'm not saying pros, but like the actual whole team's like, okay, listen, something's up and let's figure it out. Like, I don't think that happens as often. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe you can get, after playing a whole bunch of video games all day, an 18-year-old to then go and study. I just don't believe it.
Maybe
call me biased.
Yeah. I'm gonna say you're biased, but I also agree with you because I have the same bias.
Studied, and that's why it helped them out.
Yeah, like literally they saw Furia's playstyle and then they were like, all right, we can beat this. We have to, I think it was like pass to each other, to be honest. Like, I really think it was that, like, take the time that you have, which is little, you don't get much, but take the time that you have, make sure that your every touch is going to someone else. And then like, we can just destroy them on like 50s and, like consistent gameplay. Mm-hmm. And, I think this is the game where they looked at the other team and were like, you know what? Zen can beat them. If we just sit back, if we have like Alpha and Redosin, just sit back, be super defensive, not really worry about anything, then we'll beat them. I'm pretty sure that's what this game is.
I love that strat. That, you know what? I wish I had a Zen. Wasn't Zen the one who was like named Forbes? Was that Forbes like under 30 or something?
I have no clue about that.
I think it's Zen. I think it is Zen.
Okay.
I don't
know. Wow.
30 under 30.
Just have a Zen. Have someone that's named by Forbes under 30.
Yeah, this is, it's objectively true now. Don't Google it. It's objectively true, even if I didn't. I'm like 99% sure it's true, but if it's not, it's true because our podcast said it.
Yeah, a podcaster said it, so now it's true. So that's I'm pretty sure that was the game, and that's what ended up happening. And it was great. Zen just beat Furia on the offense, and then Alpha and Redosin were just like, all right, go have fun. Play your little game. We'll be sitting back here. That's all we got. And it wasn't a fun one to watch necessarily. Like, it wasn't an exciting game. It was fairly one-sided, fairly dominant.
It's one for the, what is it? What's it called? It's one for the diehards, you know.
It's one for the diehards. It's one for the nerds. For the nerds that are like, how do I study a game? That's how. You look at the difference between what Vitality did in their round 3 match or round 2 match and what they did in the quarterfinals match. And that's it. And then every other game in the quarterfinals, grand final match. Great. Incredible.
Every I don't think we've one. Ever had this many quarterfinal matches actually feel like so monumental.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I feel like we've had a lot of like semis sometimes where like the semis and the finals are great. But like different teams stepping up and having these crazy back and forth games, I don't think we've had this many in at least a long time.
No. And all of them were like fairly, except for the one, they were like swingy. We're winning, the other team's winning, and then we're winning, and then that's it. And that's how all of them went. Time of buff is strong. But yeah, it was just good. It was a great, great Saturday. And then Sunday comes along and you're like, well, we have almost all of the, almost what we would expect. Almost a full EU, full France top four. With all of the upsets that have happened throughout this major, at the very least, we can be certain that there's a France final. We know that it's a France v France, and we know which France it's going to be. It's Carbon Core versus Vitality. That's all we're certain of. That was our guaranteed 100% coming into this final. What happens? What you would expect? Gentle Mates versus G2 in the finals.
Can I just say though, like, you know, G2 saw that and they're like, "You're telling me we can't get another second? Like, we're G2. You actually think for a second, okay, that we can't get second place again? You're out of your mind."
I don't care who's on this team. We're G2. The players don't matter.
Listen, we could have scrapped our way, but now that we're in semis. Like if we face you in finals, it's a 4-0 easy money, right? But like right now,
you think we're not getting a second place? Who do you think we are? Yeah, we're G2 place.
We were built for this. You know how much history we have of getting second place? There's a reason there's a 2 and not a 1 after a letter. You think that was by accident? No, the gods have graced us with this number 2, okay? We're not version 2.0. We're getting second no matter what, you know. Anyway.
We're not G4. Sometimes we're G8, but we're not G4. We make it to semis, we're getting to that grand finals. You know what's happening in that grand finals. We're getting second.
And you can't stop us.
You cannot stop us. That's G2. That's G2's way. That's G2's ninja way.
It's my ninja. Thank goodness. All right. I think we get the point. So yeah, yep. There you go. How do you feel about that, Wabs? G2 coming in clutch.
G2 came in real clutch. They were NA's final hope ever since that first game on the Saturday in the quarterfinals when Gen G got taken out by Gentlemates. NA's last hope. They were the final cope of NA. Nobody expected them to have to really be in there.
And yet,
they were decent. They're a good team. They're like, they're a top 8 team. And then,
yeah, I don't disagree, but you know, I think beating Vitality there in semis was impressive.
Yeah. Then they like got the hopes and dreams of NA on their back. They were fighting Vitality, who had to give up the hopes and dreams of NA from 2 majors before, I think 3. Mm-hmm. And we ended up with an NAEU final, the one that nobody expected.
As all things should be.
Yeah, it was great. It's a great final. And then, as everybody continued to predict, Gentlemates lost once again, as everybody predicted. They were never believed in. They couldn't win a single series in this entire tournament. And so they didn't lose a single series.
You know what? Honestly, it's the opposite of the caster's curse. They were cursed into winning the thing. If just one person predicted they win, they'd win, you know?
They really did. They I don't think they got, you could probably count the amount of like votes they got mm-hmm. from the desk, like on one hand, throughout the entire tournament. I don't think anybody had any faith that Gentlemaids Alpine would take any of the series that they came into, and they took all of them. And you know who was there with them the entire way from day one?
There's only one.
Day one, baby. That's me. I'm in there. It's my boy. It's Attachy.
I've never seen Wabs be so accurate with predictions, I'm going to be honest. I think this only happens once, okay? I don't think you predict another one. And you know what? Actually, I will say, like, we're at a point now, and just the way this tournament went, I think it'll be very hard to predict anything from this point on.
Yeah, I feel like EU is going to go back to the way it was with the KC, BDS, Vitality, Gentlemates in that order. That's going to be your top four again. But I don't know about NA. I actually don't know about NA.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. I think, do you think there's any threat for France in EU?
I think there is, but I think it's like a slow growing threat. I think it's from the other regions.
Obviously, like, from the other regions. Like, yes, I agree with that. Okay. Like, if we're talking, we can talk about South America, we can talk about MENA, and we can talk about G2 Gen G, right? Like, they are threats. 100%, no questions. You might be able to give it, like, a shout out to Rule 1 and Complexity even, and say that those two can, if they had a good day, like, honestly, if they genuinely had a good day, they could take it. They could upset any team. But you would then look at, like, your Furias, your Furias and your Falcons, and you're like, yeah, they're on par. There's going to be growth from each of the teams for sure, and next major is going to be a lot of fun. By seeing all of that, I think every team is going to go, like, kind of crazy once they realize that, you know what, there's no set order. Positions here. Yeah,
I think let's be honest, that 6 months or the like months and months break, I think there's a lot of team that grinded, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
a lot of other teams that fell off, and they're dealing with the consequences of not having worked as hard in that off time period.
Who do you think fell off?
Well, it fell off, but like, I think these other regions like had a lot more ambition, maybe, or maybe, like, you know what I mean? Like, we're a lot more motivated than the NAEU teams in some ways. So
that's fair, but I don't even know if that's true. I just think that with both Complexity and Furia returning to South America for them, they just became, like, one of the better regions inherently.
It's like they took all the NA knowledge and they're like, we don't need you anymore. Yeah,
because they went back to become, like, to one of the better regions. Like, they still have, like, I'm gonna name off some solid teams. They still have Crew, they still have NIP, and they still have Team Secret, and that's on top of Fury and Complexity, and I would assume maybe True Neutral, I haven't seen much from them, but I'm going to assume that, like, any of those four to five could be solid teams in contention for any of the placements. I don't know if they're a top two region, but, like, they should be bringing up the rest of the region, because there's still a lot of depth and a lot of amazing players present within those teams that weren't at the major. And then the same thing goes for MENA. Like, there wasn't the movement back for them. They were always just there. But, like, you know, you still have Rule 1 and Falcons. You still have Twisted Minds, which is a crazy team. And you have two other teams that I don't actually know, apparently. Oh, we have Infinity, who has Vampires and Venom. I don't know who Natter is or Nader. But, like, every single region, and this isn't over, you know, going too far here, has a ton of depth, with France being the only potential distinction. But like, even there, the rest of Europe is going to come up. They're going to start competing pretty heavily. And I think in our last regional, like, we saw that it France was starting to get overthrown. They didn't necessarily, but there was a lot of contention. So
all this to say, I feel Rocket League esports from a competitive standpoint is literally the best it's ever been.
Yes. Like, absolutely.
And I don't think that's hyperbole. Like, I actually think we've never had so much, like, different, you know what I mean? Different regions, teams, players emerging at the same time. And it just feels like a perfect mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we'll end with that. It's a good way to end it. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you enjoyed our recap of this. Wabs, thank you for just like you do in my ranked games, carrying me on the esports recap here. Wonderful. I'm happy. I feel like I fully digested that major. I'm ready for the next tournaments coming up, and like major two, I think just based on the results of this one, I think the second major will have like the same expectations, and I hope we'll also kind of live up to it. These majors feel like mini world tournaments now. Like, they feel 100%. More important than they did last time, and I think I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm so happy with the format and how it's starting to turn out now that we're like really getting into it. So this is a great year so far.
Amazing. Wabs, do you have any homework for our listeners? Do you have any homework? I want you to take over the mantle today.
I don't know how to give homework. I'd never give homework.
All right. You know what? Your homework? No homework this week. There you go. Okay. Oh my God. You got a week off, or month off, I guess.
Month off.
So this is your month to do. You do you. You know, that's the mantra. Yeah. Or is that homework? Is me saying you do you technically homework? That's a question.
I would. You didn't assign it.
You don't have to. If you don't want to do you want to do someone else, then do that.
But you do always say if you choose to accept it.
So there you go. So it's but it is homework. Like, you can have homework that's not mandatory.
Your homework is to figure out whether or not this is homework.
No, because you're not assigned homework. So your homework. Okay, if this is homework,
then your homework is to figure out whether or not
your homework is to argue that this isn't homework. Okay.
Good homework.
And if this isn't homework, then I hope you have a great month. And we'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.